وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. بارك الله فيك حضرت مولانا سليم صاحب. May Allah سبحانه وتعالى shower his rahmah and mercy on you. آمين. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لن ينال الله لحومها ولا دماؤها ولكن يناله التقوى منكم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al Ansar International, tonight was the 16th Taraweeh and the recitation of the 17th Para. And the name of the surah is Surah Anbiya. The reason for its name is that approximately 17 Anbiya are mentioned in it. Surah Anbiya consists of the following important points. At the beginning of Surah Anbiya, a picture of the temporary nature of this worldly life is drawn. We are informed that the time for Qiyamah and reckoning is very close. However, man is totally negligent and oblivious of this frightening day. Neither does he prepare for it, and nor does he do such actions which will benefit him on that day. When any verse is presented to him, he mocks at it and rejects it. He does not know with what seriousness, dignity and humility this great speech should be listened to. The mushrikeen used to speak among themselves regarding Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They would say, "This man who claims risalat and prophethood is not a rasul, but is a human like us, and he is unable to bring forth material miracles like the other anbiya." So the Quran answers that those anbiya who came from before were all humans. They would eat, drink and fulfill all other human needs. No Nabi was such that he was free from human needs. Regarding miracles, what can be a greater miracle than the noble Quran? One reason for its miraculousness is that people of different thoughts, beliefs, character and actions can judge themselves in the mirror of the Quran. It has made mention of every nation and person, either clearly or by indication. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, "Definitely we have revealed to you a book in which mention is made of you. Do you not understand?" It is mention of the famous Tabi'i and Arab leader, Hazrat Ahnaf ibn Qais radiallahu ta'ala an, that once while sitting, he heard someone reciting this verse. He became startled and said, "Bring the Quran and Majid. Let me look for those verses wherein mention is made of me, so that I can see which group of people do I belong to and who do I resemble." He continued turning the pages of the Quran and reading the conditions of different people. First, he read those verses wherein the fortunate people are mentioned. Some of them had sacrificed their lives in the path of Allah. Some had spent all their wealth. Some stayed away from the bed the whole night, and some did not go too close to any evil. Then he read those verses in which the hypocrites, the sinners, disbelievers, and polytheists were mentioned. After reading both types of verses, he said, "Oh Allah, I am not from both these groups." Then he recited the verse of Surah Tawbah, in which such people are mentioned who had done evil as well as good actions. After reciting this, he said, "Yes, this is where mention is made of me." One of the laughable and foolish actions of the mushrikeen was that they were not unanimous on one point regarding the Quran. Sometimes they would say, "This is magic." Sometimes they would say this is poetry, and other times they would say this is confused dreams. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concocted it up. Someone has taught him. So the Quran mentioning their differences and confusion says, in fact, they say this Quran is confused dreams. Nay, but in fact, they say he has concocted it. Nay, but he's a poet and the Quran is poetry. Let him bring to us such an outward sign as was sent to the people of the past. Thereafter, the Quran turns our attention to the final result of the oppressive nations which Allah has made to serve as admonition for people of insight. Now, in this book, the Quran Majid, which is clear, countless proofs of the oneness of Allah Ta'ala in the universe are spread out. And then the mushrikeen who lower themselves before inanimate objects, leaving aside Allah Ta'ala, have been criticized and reprimanded. A proof is sought from them regarding their belief that idols are worthy of worship. It is apparent that there is no intellectual or narrated proof for the permissibility of idol worship and shirk. Now, after refuting the incorrect theories of the mushrikeen, six proofs have been mentioned regarding the existence of one creator and a powerful being. And all of these are proofs of the amazing system of the world, which can be witnessed with the eye and which people of knowledge have accepted after investigating its reality. The first proof given is that the heavens and the earth were both joined together. Allah Ta'ala separated them. He made the heavens the abode of the angels and the earth the abode of humans. The theory which the Quran presents of the heavens and the earth being joined was not known by the people of their time, nor did they claim it to be wrong. Now, approximately 200 years ago, the experts of geology and astronomy, after great research and observance, have come to this conclusion that all objects in orbit, whether it be the sun, the stars, the earth or the moon, were all fused together, then they were separated. Now the Quran Majid has spoken about this reality 1400 years ago without any fear or refutation. What else can this be called but the miracle of the noble Quran? The second proof is that Allah Ta'ala created everything from water. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ هَيْءٍ. This is a great revelation made on the lips of an unlettered person. Now, today all scientists accept the fact that water has the rank of being the basic element of the existence of all living things. Then the third proof given is that Allah Ta'ala has placed mountains on the earth so that the earth does not shake due to the weight of people. So if the mountains were not there, then the earth would be struck with continuous earthquakes and disturbances and would not be protected from the fire raging within the recesses of the earth. Now too, we find such volcanic mountains through which the earth at times releases heat. The lava coming out of it makes life impossible. The fourth proof is that Allah Ta'ala has made wide roads in the earth so that people can travel on them, leave alone flat plains, look at the mountain ranges which are found from country to country. Then the fifth proof is that Allah Ta'ala has made the heaven a protected roof. In this roof are thousands of stars, the sun and moon, which are moving at a tremendous speed in their orbits. Neither do they collide, nor do they become entangled. The sixth proof is that Allah Ta'ala has created day and night, the sun and the moon. These are all orbiting in the skies just as fish swim in water. There is no strain in their continuous movement, and they never stop. They continue moving. Their life is only in movement. The Quran presented the theory of the movement of day and night, the sun and the moon, the stars and the celestial bodies at such a time when the intelligent people of that time were unaware. So modern science corroborates this Quranic statement. Scientists have understood this reality after years and years of investigation using large telescopes and modern machinery in ready laboratories. The question is, besides the means of wahi, this divine revelation, what other way was there for an unlettered Nabi to gather such information and offer this information to the world. It's absolutely amazing. After mentioning the proof of Tawheed, Nabuwat, resurrection, and recompense, the incidents of 17 Anbiya are mentioned: Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, Hazrat Harun, Hazrat Ibrahim, Hazrat Lut, Hazrat Ishaq, Hazrat Yaqub, Hazrat Nuh, Hazrat Dawood, Hazrat Suleiman, Hazrat Ayyub, Hazrat Ismail, Hazrat Idris, Hazrat Zulkifl alayhi salam, Hazrat Yunus as well, Hazrat Zakaria, Hazrat Yahya, and Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. The call of all these Anbiya was one: whoever does good actions and is a believer, then his efforts will not be wasted. So from these 17 Anbiya, the incidents of 6 of them have been mentioned with a bit of detail. The incident of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, who due to calling towards Tawheed and refuting Shirk, he was thrown into the fire. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him, and Allah ta'ala said, Ya naru kuni bardan wa salaman ala Ibrahim. Then the story of his nephew Hazrat Lut alayhi salam, who was sent as a Nabi to a very evil nation. Then Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam, who was called Sheikhul Anbiya due to his old age and due to his patience and forbearance in the path of Allah. He fulfilled the duty of da'wah and tabligh for 950 years. Hazrat Dawud alayhi salam and his son Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam, who were both Nabis and kings. They were both granted spiritual and material bounties. Hazrat Ayyub alayhi salam, who was tested by difficulties and sickness, he displayed such patience that his patience has become proverbial. Sabri Ayyub, he continuously turned his attention to Allah Ta'ala during his difficulty and sickness. His attention to Allah Ta'ala turned the mercy of Allah Ta'ala to him. His du'as were accepted, and the period of trial was brought to an end. And then the story of Hazrat Yunus alayhi salam, whom the fish swallowed from within his stomach. He called out to Allah Ta'ala, and his call was heard, and he was saved from grief. And then the story of Ya'juj and Ma'juj, which was mentioned in Surah Kahf, is mentioned once again here. Close to Qiyamah, they will be released and will descend from a high place. So the mushrikeen and the idols will be the fuel of Jahannam on the Day of Judgment. They will not be able to assist each other. So after mentioning the incidents of the past Anbiya, we are informed that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a mercy for the whole universe in worldly matters. And indeed, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has conveyed Allah's message to mankind. Then we go on to Surah Hajj. And Surah Hajj is also amazing, because the announcement of the compulsion of Hajj on the tongue of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam has been made in it. The surah commences with such words that one's heart begins to shiver and one's body begins to quake. Allah Ta'ala states, O people, fear your guardian, fear your Rabb. Verily the tremor of Qiyamah, inna zalzala jassah, the shay'un azim, is a very great thing. On that day, you will see that every breastfeeding mother will forget her suckling infant. Every pregnant woman will abort her fetus. And you will see the people drunk, whereas they will not be drunk. But the punishment of Allah is severe. And on seeing it, people will lose their senses. If a review is taken of the different religious groups, then they can be divided into 6 groups. Muslims who follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and believe in the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us in this group here and steadfast on Iman. Jews, the followers of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, who believe in the Torah. Christians, the followers of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, who believe in the Bible. Sa'abi, it has been mentioned that this group was found during the era of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, the Sabians. They used to worship the stars. Then you get the Majus, the Zoroastrians. They do not follow any heavenly religion. They worship the sun, moon, and fire. And then you get the Mushrikeen, the polytheists. They worship idols. So Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam built the house of Allah Ta'ala by the command of Allah Ta'ala. Thereafter, he stood on Jabal Abu Qubais and made the announcement of Hajj. وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا وَعَلَىٰ كُلِّ زَامِرٍ يَأْتِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍّ عَمِيقٍ. And make an announcement and proclamation amongst the people regarding Hajj. They will come walking to you. Wala kulli, they will come walking, and they will come from every distant valley, and they will come on lean camels from every distant valley. So Allah Ta'ala, through His complete and perfect power, conveyed this call to all the inhabitants of the heavens and the earth, and all heard it. And because of the connection to Hajj and the rites of Hajj, we are also informed that to honor the prohibitions of Allah Ta'ala, that is, not to do wrong, is a sign of Iman. Just as there is great reward in doing good actions, similarly, there is great reward in abstaining from those things and actions which Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has declared haram. And then a true believer has four qualities: fear of Allah, patience in difficulties, punctuality in salah, spending in good causes. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says regarding the sacrificing of animals, لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهُ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَكِنْ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ, that their flesh and their blood does not reach Allah, but your taqwa from your side reaches Allah. So we are informed that their blood and meat do not reach Allah, but the taqwa and the piety. The person in whose heart there is taqwa will abstain from sins and will perform good actions only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like the other anbiya, the purpose of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being sent was to convey Allah's message. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained steadfast in fulfilling the purpose of this coming, and the mushrikeen continued in their work of mockery, rejection, and creating doubts in the call of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this line of action has occurred with every Nabi. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was absolutely steadfast, and he underwent great difficulties at the hands of the polytheists in Makkah Mukarramah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let us be steadfast on the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.